Good morning. Wasn't that awesome? These guys are just amazing. So my name is Rod Ehrlich. We've been a member here for about 10 years. And the downside of the pastors being in the Congo, the upside is our pastors are in the Congo. The downside is you're stuck with me today. But that's hopefully it as well. Thanks, Mark. So, been a member here about 10 years, and I'm here with my family, Julie, my beautiful, better half right here, my amazing daughter, Maddie, who's a senior at Mount Si High School, and my son is a sophomore at Wazoo, so go Cougs. Sorry, Mike. But I got to tell you, the first thing I want to say is I'm not up here as some righteous holy dude, right? I'm not that guy. I'm not perfect. I'm here because I was asked, and the cool thing about why I'm here is I know this is exactly where God wants me to be right this second, right here, right now. And the reason I know that is because, you see, I've been a part of this men's Bible study, right? George, I think Dale, some other guys are here. Rich, we've been meeting for years, and we've been talking, we've been plowing through books, we've been reading this Bible, and here about earlier this summer, we said, you know what, let's slow things down a little bit, kind of like our Abide series, right? We're gonna just slow this down. Abide's been talking about just really checking in there and reading for some understanding instead of just trying to read from cover to cover. So we've been reading this book of John, and guys, I came across the story that I couldn't wait to talk about. The story just came out to me, and we're going to talk about it today, but it was one of those stories I read, and I was just like, I got to talk to people about this. And so I grabbed my family, and this is no joke. We FaceTimed my son. Julie and Maddie were there, and I was like, hey, guys, let's listen to this story. This story is really amazing. I was so jazzed to tell them about it. And I certainly couldn't wait for our men's group on Tuesday morning to talk about this story. And so I brought up this story and it was about what we were reading that day, and it spawned this conversation. It's like, well, yeah, and I did this, and it was just been awesome. So now, tell me, is this a coincidence, or is it God's hand that 3 days later I get a phone call? Dan Bolgi. Hi, Dan. Hey, Rod. That's my Dan Bolgi voice. Hi, Rod. We're going to the Congo, and I was curious if you could speak on October 27th. And he said, it's about the Abide. We're kind of reading for comprehension. And he said, and it's pretty open. You can talk about what's ever on your heart. Is that a coincidence? That's why I know right here, right now, I know this is where God wants me to be. So, we're going to talk about that. But first, I got to tell you a joke. Is that okay? So, there's this little old lady, and she lives in this house by this river, right? And as appropriate for the valley, the river starts flooding, start rising, right? So this policeman comes by and says, ma'am, we need to evacuate. The river's rising. She says, don't worry. God will save me. So, he's like, all right. So he takes off. Well, the river continues to rise. And a lady has to go into her house. And this fireman in a rescue boat comes up. And, ma'am, get in the boat. Don't worry. God will save me. So the boat takes off. Well, the river continues to rise. The old lady goes up in the house. She has to crawl up onto her roof of her house because the river is so high. And a helicopter comes over, lowers a basket. Ma'am, get into the basket. She says, don't worry, God will save me. Well, the river continues to rise. It washes the lady off the house, and she dies. Now, she gets to heaven, and she says, Lord, I'm so happy to be here, but why didn't you rescue me? And he said, I sent you a policeman, a fireman, and a helicopter. Sorry. But don't you think maybe sometimes we miss the rescue? Don't you think that maybe sometimes we miss our rescue? So today we're going to be talking about the rescue, and we're actually going to be talking about the rescue of Peter. But before we do that, I want to say that as we as Christians, right, all of us as Christians, I don't know where you are as a Christian, but all of us as Christians, we know the one and only rescue that we need is Jesus, right? That's our rescue. That's our rescue story, right? And what he did for us on the cross. But if you're like me, I'm lucky that I'm a cradle Christian, right? I've never had a time where I didn't know God in my life. But I've lived this roller coaster of faith in my life. I've had times where I'm so close, I'm just trying to get closer and closer to God, and I'm trying to do the things, and I'm doing the things that I should do, and maybe not doing the things I shouldn't. But then gravity pulls me away, right? Gravity pulls me back down here to this earthly stuff, the stuff that is not being closer to God. And I think it's during those times when I'm kind of not strong and I'm not walking closely with God and I'm not maybe being the person that I should be, that I really miss those rescues, where I really miss those rescues. So today, we're going to talk about this story that I'm so excited to talk about. And it's the rescue of Peter. So Peter was a disciple of Jesus. Now, I don't know where you are in your understanding of this whole picture, but the bottom line is the disciple is, these were Jesus' posse, right? These 12 guys followed Jesus around. And when Jesus was gone, it's these 12 guys that basically started Christianity. I mean, these guys were pretty remarkable. And so the story of Peter that we're going to talk about is about Peter's rescue. But the crazy thing, I mean, do you guys know stories about Peter? This guy was, to me, he was one of the most interesting disciples that was out there. Because this is the Peter, right? So Peter and the disciples were on a boat. And do you remember when Jesus walks on the water, right? So the 12 disciples are on the boat, and there's waves crashing all around, and here comes Jesus. It's one of his miracles. He's walking on the water. And all 12 disciples are on the boat. They see him coming, and Peter's the one who goes, "Oh, Jesus, I want to walk on the water." And so Jesus said, "Come on." So he steps out of the boat, and he's like, "Yeah, man, I'm walking on water," until he took his eyes off Jesus. He started looking at the waves, and he started to sink. And Jesus said, "Peter, keep your eyes on me." This is the same Peter. This is the Peter who, the night before Jesus was taken, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Now, that sounds like a really weird thing, right? But back then, cleaning your feet was kind of a sign of a serving. And so when Jesus went to wash the feet of the disciples, it was a sign that he was okay being the master serving. Right? Living as an example of what we should do. And so Peter's like, "Oh, but you're not going to wash my feet, Jesus." And Jesus goes, "Yes, I am." And Peter's like, "Well, okay, well, wash my head too." Jesus is like, "I'm not washing your head, Peter. I'm washing your feet." That same night, this Peter, he told Jesus, he said, "Hey, you know what? I'll lay down my life for you." You know what Jesus said? "Really? Because before the rooster crows before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." Okay? That's this Peter. "You're going to deny me three times." Peter's like, "Huh?" Okay. So now let's get to the story, right? And how I got to the story. I got to this story when we were reading through John. Trust me. Just hang with me. I'm going to bring this all together. So I got to this story when we're reading John. And but I want to set the stage for this time frame. Jesus had been healing people, right? He had raised this dude from the dead, and he was making all kinds of noise and preaching and trying to help people to understand the true God, and he was making a lot of noise. So at the time, he was right outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the center, right, of the whole Jewish faith, right, the Jewish church. And so you've got this Jewish church, right, and in charge of the Jewish church was this thing called a Sanhedrin, right? It was the governing body of the church. But all of that was under the rule of Rome. So Rome had conquered everybody. I mean, Rome had conquered everybody. And so they were under control. But the Romans said, look, you can have your little Jewish church. That's fine. Just don't make any noise. Jesus was making noise. And these guys didn't like it. So let's go ahead and bring that up. Let's go ahead and get into the story. So I'm in John 11. And so check this out. Therefore, many of them, the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. And the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of that Sanhedrin, right? The governing body. He says, what are we accomplishing, they asked. Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone's going to believe in him. And the Romans will come. The Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Then one of them, named Caiaphas, I'm not sure if that's how you say his name, but I'm going to say it. Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. And he said, you know nothing at all. You don't realize it's better for you that one man to die than for the whole nation to perish. And I stopped, right? I stopped right there. And I thought, that's ironic. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, it's better for me to die to save the whole world. And this guy is saying, it's better for Jesus to die to save the world. But as I thought about it, it's like the difference was pretty clear. Jesus was saying, I want to die to save the world. These guys are saying, I want Jesus to die to save my little world, right? So I started thinking about this dude named Caiaphas and actually did some research on him. Google's a great thing. Caiaphas was powerful. This Sanhedrin thing was about 60-some elders and chief priests and Pharisees, and he was the ruler of this Sanhedrin for 18 years. And his father-in-law was one of the rulers. So this dude was powerful. He was so powerful that he pushed and got Jesus murdered. That's this guy. This Caiaphas guy. So I started thinking about this. As I'm thinking, well, I want to go a little bit deeper because we're going slow, right? I want to go a little bit deeper. So what happened to this guy? Where else did he show up in the Bible? And I found him, and this brings in our friend Peter, right? This Peter guy that we were talking about. So we're going to go into Acts. Now, let me set this up just a second. So Jesus was crucified, and he came back. And he told his posse, he said, go out and make disciples of all the earth. So that's what they did, right? So now we're getting up to where Peter and John were out doing their thing, right? They were trying to help people see Jesus, okay? And they had just healed a crippled man. And the Sanhedrin, right, caught wind of this noise, and they didn't like the noise. So they captured Peter, and they brought him in. Now check this out. The next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, Annas was actually Caiaphas' father-in-law, the high priest at that time, and so was Caiaphas, our guy Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. And he said, by what power and what name did you do this? Okay, put yourself in this position, right? Here's Peter. Here's the Sanhedrin. Here's the people who killed your master. These guys were powerful. Peter knew it. What would you do? This is crazy, and it gives me chills just to think about being in front of these people and saying, by what power are you doing this? Listen to Peter's response. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was shown and asked how he was healed, then you know this, you and all people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you now healed. He, Jesus, is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." What happened? What happened to this guy? How did he go from this guy over here, who was denying Christ, to this biblical Rambo firing back at the Sanhedrin? Right? He was rescued. He was rescued by the resurrection of Jesus. And you see, that's the story behind the words. Right? It doesn't say that, but when we took the time and we read this slowly, and it's like this story behind the words jumped out. It was reading this passage for some depth instead of just trying to get from here to here, because guess what? I'd read that passage plenty of times, just trying to get through it to finish my Bible verse or reading for the day or whatever. So let's see what happens here. So when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. I mean, these guys were firing back at the Sanhedrin. They were quoting scripture, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the caps. I mean, these guys were like, where did this come from? And they saw they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who was healed, crippled, standing there with him, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. So they did this little Sanhedrin huddle, right? And they said, "What are we going to do with these men?" They asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem, this whole city, knows that he's done an outstanding miracle. And quite honestly, we can't deny it, right? But to stop this thing from spreading any further, we got to warn these men to no longer speak with anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them, "Don't to speak or teach in the name of Jesus." But then Peter and John replied, "Sanhedrin, all 60 of you, high priests, all Pharisees, judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God." You see, we can't help but speaking about what we have seen and heard. I think this is the first recorded mic drop in history. Can't help but speaking about what we've seen and heard. Boom. So it's a great story. It's a story of a rescue, right? But the crazy thing is, I started thinking about it, and I love the story, and it still just gives me some chills when I think about him standing up to this Sanhedrin, right? But then I also started thinking about it, and I thought, how many times have I read that before? How many times have I read those passages before, and I totally missed the story? I missed any depth in that story. I just read it. So it made me think, what else have I been missing? Right? You know, down here, you know, because I do believe God sends us the little rescues, right, constantly to help us to see what Jesus did, to get closer to him. What rescues are you missing? What rescues are we missing? What books are we missing, right? I've told you before, last time I spoke, I talked about this book called Radical. It radically changed my life. So much so that I say I had a pre-radical life and a post-radical life. Post-radical life is saying, look, God, you've given me a lot, and I've got to sacrifice stuff for you. I've got to sacrifice money. We've got to sacrifice our time, right? It can't be all about me. What songs have we missed, right? Because I got to be honest, a couple of those songs you worship team blasted out today, you know, a little tear here, which to me is like, feels like I think I'm getting a little closer to God when I hear some of those stories, right? How many times I just listen to music, it's in the background. What about a podcast? What about a sermon? What about a book? How many rescues have we missed? So my prayer today is that maybe all of us can slow down a little bit and really see and listen for those little rescues that could come into our life, right? That we don't miss those opportunities to get a little bit closer to God, and that we can get that rescue to help us get to this place where we can't help but talking about what we've seen and heard. Will you pray with me? Lord, I just pray that you would open our eyes and help us to slow down and fight this gravity of this world, because we know that blocks us seeing you. Lord, we just ask that you help us to see that policeman or that rescue boat or that helicopter that's trying that we just don't see because we're going too fast. And Lord, finally, I want to thank you personally just for letting me know exactly where you want me to be right here, right now. In Jesus' holy, precious name, we pray. Amen.